All right, guys, welcome to another episode of the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast. I'm your show host, Britt Dowd, and waiting in the queue on Instagram Live, these have been fun, is Mr. Alex Judd. So let's wait for him here. He just joined the chat. Requesting to join, go live with Alex Judd. Here we go. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am joined live here on Instagram with Mr. Alex Judd. Alex is with Pathfork. What's up, man? How are you doing?
Hey, we're going to see if this works. If not, we can go to phone call, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, let's test it out, man. How are you doing today?
I'm golden. How are you, man?
Oh, doing good. Doing good. Apologize for all the technical difficulties.
No, I think that's definitely user error on my part. I'm almost convinced.
Awesome, man. Well, awesome. Well, a lot of our listeners may recognize the sound of your voice, but if they haven't met you yet or looked into what you got going on now, I'm joined with Alex Judd, currently running CEO, founder, accountant, salesman, marketing director for Path for Growth, man. He's in the trenches with us now. Before that, Alex was host of the Entree Leadership Podcast after Ken Coleman. Some pretty big shoes to fill. Before that, I believe you were a coach for Entree Leadership. So, Alex, why don't you take away the rest of the intro? Tell everybody about yourself, introduce yourself, and give them your vital signs.
Oh man, my vital signs. Well, the thing that I always use in job interviews, although I hope I never have to do a job interview ever again because I'm now self-employed,
there we go.
Is I used to always say that growing up, my dad was an engineer for NASA and my mom was a grade school teacher. And so my goal in life is always to have the discipline of a NASA engineer and the enthusiasm of a second grade teacher is my goal in life.
Oh man, so, that's awesome. That is awesome. That's your interview speech, isn't it?
That is my elevator pitch, to say the least. Yeah. Wow. So that's part of what brought me to Entree Leadership. And then I worked there for 4 years and now I'm just now launching Path for Growth, which is the company that I own.
That's awesome, Alex. That's awesome. Well, cool, man. Well, I want to respect your time. So I want to make sure we hop right into it. So you kind of gave us your pitch for getting into the Ramsey organization. Somebody might steal that. Tell us like, what was it like working for the Ramsey organization? I mean, what was your climb through the ranks like? And then maybe give us some little behind the scenes action of what was it like being around those absolute killer leaders day in and day out? I mean, in my opinion, one of the most intentional places for small business owners and people that are just craving intentionality to be around. I'd love for you to take that and tell us a few stories and what your rise through the ranks was.
Yeah. Well, what's so cool is that I was a consumer before I was a team member. I absolutely loved Entree Leadership. I wish I could remember who introduced me to it because I owe them so much. But it was someone in college told me that I needed to start listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast. And I think the first question I asked them was, what's a podcast? And then the second question I asked them was, what's Entree Leadership?
Yeah.
And they told me, oh man, it's practical, it's inspiring, it's engaging. The type of people that you get to hear from for free, it's just insane. And so I checked it out and I just loved it. And probably the same reason why people listen to your podcast, it was engaging. It always left me inspired, but it was also always actionable. And I just really, really, that hit home with me in such a big way. And so I started listening every single Monday on my run, primarily as a consumer, just because I was working in leadership development and I was helping run a startup in college. And it was just so useful for me. Yeah. And it was stuff that for a lot of people, it seems like common sense. For me, it was revolutionary. It's like, oh my gosh, if you're a leader, you should treat people like people and not units of production. And accountability doesn't always have to be a bad thing. And there's this whole world called organizational culture. It was just blowing my mind. And so I just fell in love with it. And I remember I listened to it for months, maybe even years. And I remember I was on a run. I would always listen to it on my Monday run. and I was on a run in Texas, and I would remember the stoplight that I was at. And thank goodness it was a stop at the crosswalk, because if it wasn't, I don't know that I would have had this thought. But I remember the crosswalk that I was at when I thought to myself, man, that would be a cool place to work one day.
Wow.
And I always tell people 14 interviews later, I found myself there.
Yep.
And it was 14 interviews. It's quite a process. I think it's easier to get into the FBI than it is to get into Ramsey Solutions.
That's awesome, man. And if anybody's heard any of Dave's podcasts or the Entree Leadership podcast, you know how slow that hiring process is. I love it, man. Like, you could go anywhere with that story. You're at the intersection of life. You're at the stop sign of life, and you got to make a decision. That's awesome. And everybody has their like come to Dave story, right? That's how mine was. I went through all of college, like literally was getting ready to graduate in 2 weeks. Was getting ready to marry my wife Brooke, and I just like blazed through. I think it was Financial Peace, something like that. And I was like, just the word that stuck out to me was intentionality. I was like, I have been going through the last 4 years of college with a lack of intentionality. And that's when I hopped onto Entree Leadership. And same thing for you. The thing that I loved was y'all were interviewing guests that were actually giving, like you said, practical advice, but it's because they were right where I was. You know, they were telling me, hey, you got to get 5 years, and then you really don't see another profit until 8 years. You know, I'm the Benham Brothers podcast sticks out in my mind, but just so much valuable information is gleaned from those. And shout out to you guys. You guys do a really, really good job. You add value to a ton of people. The ripple effect of Entree Leadership, I don't think anybody will be able to grasp.
Well, what was so cool for me is I had heard the podcast, I had read the book, I'd listened to Dave for years, and I just thought to myself, there's no way the culture of this place and the team at this place is as good as they say it is.
Yeah.
But if it's half as good, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And what's crazy, and it was like this every single one of my 4 years that I was there, it's better. Like, that's it's awesome. Better than what you hear about in the podcast. Dave Ramsey is the strongest leader I've ever worked for, period. It's not even close. And the culture of that place, the evidence of the fact that he's a strong leader is the caliber of people that he surrounded himself with.
Mm.
And I just, that was one of the things that made it such a hard decision to leave, although it was the right decision, is I just, like, you look up every day and you're surrounded by people that are smarter than you, that are intentional, that are growing, that are constantly motivating each other to get better in their chosen craft.
Yep.
It's just such a life-giving place to work. Yep. And it's just one of the greatest blessings of my career that I got to be there for 4 years.
That's awesome, Alex. That's awesome. Man, I know a lot of listeners out there are thinking to themselves, well, now what? You know what, Alex, you were at the pinnacle. You just told us how great this place is. Well, what now? Like, you've now left the pinnacle and went to the bottom. What was your analogy of the vehicle we were chatting about off air? You went from a Bentley, okay? And then now you're in what? What'd you say, an 88 Ford?
Oh, man, I don't know that it's nice enough to be called an 88 yet. I think it's a 1980 used Ford that sometimes works, is what I tell people. And this Instagram internet issue is great evidence of that.
I had an 88 Beamer, though. Okay, what are you going to do with that?
Oh,
88
very
Beamer.
Good. That's good.
A little slow on the gas pedal. So actually, during my driving test, flipped to a yellow light. And I was like, what do I do? Do I slam on the brakes? Teacher stuff goes flying, or do I gun it? And I chose in that moment, you know, I need to gun it. I need to prove to her, like, I can make a snap decision. I gunned it, and then it didn't go anywhere. So the light flipped red, and then finally the gas engaged, and we just blazed through a red light. So anyways, that's my side story. I told you, man, this would be a very casual interview.
Well,
for you.
No, I'll take my 1980 used Ford over your 1988 Beamer any day of the week, because at least mine's American made. Yours
yes, exactly. Exactly. Come on now. Come on. I love it. All right. So yeah, tell us what is Path for Growth? What is Alex Judd up to now? I've got a quote written down here that really resonated with me, which, by the way, to our listeners, to our followers on Instagram, do yourself a favor. Go follow Alex Judd. Follow Path for Growth. He puts out some really, really good content. Anytime it's out there, I swallow it up. Love the videos you're creating. But I wrote this quote down. Great things happen when an individual or an organization commits itself to a pattern of daily growth. I loved that. On that note, Alex, what are you up to, man?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I recognized in my time at Ramsey, working with small business owners, but also working within that unbelievable team, is a pattern that I started to recognize for myself as an individual and as a leader. And then I've started to see it with the businesses and the leaders that I now work with every single day. The core person that Path for Growth exists to serve is the impact-driven leader. And specifically, it's the high-performing impact-driven leader. So high-performing meaning that they have a track record of getting results, but maybe now they've plateaued. And they're impact-driven, which means it's results not just for the sake of results. It's results for the sake of service, right? We're going to serve a greater purpose. We're going to serve a grander mission. We're going to serve people that are not us.
Yeah.
And so that's the people that we exist to serve. And one of the things that I've started to recognize in my own life, but also with those people that we work with, is that impact-driven leaders fail when they lack one of two things. Number one is a crystal clear vision of where they are going. Like legitimately a sentence that says, this is where we are going. Mm-hmm. This is the mountain that we are climbing. Because if they do not have that, so often it's so easy for driven people. The question is not whether they will get to the top of the mountain. They will make it to the top of the mountain. Yeah. The question is, will they get to the top and realize this isn't a mountain that I actually wanted to climb?
Mm.
And so you've got to have a crystal clear vision of where you're going. But then in addition, and this is where a lot of visionary people often struggle, you've got to have a plan for consistently executing on the things that matter most over an extended period of time. A plan for consistently executing on the things that matter most over an extended period of time. And one of the things that I know to be true is that the person, the leader, the team, the business that you become permanently is a reflection of the things that you do daily. It's daily habits. It's daily actions. And so we can dive into more of that if you want to, but that's really the paradigm through which I come at Path for Growth and through which our entire team seeks to serve impact-driven leaders.
Well, I guess, and Alex, that is so much. I can just picture our listeners now. They're like, okay, let me pause this, go back and re-listen to that. But you can boil it down, like you said, to vision and daily action steps. I guess what I want you to unpack, and let's sit here for a while with our listeners, is where are the majority of small businesses lacking? Is it that they don't have the vision, or is it that they are not executing daily, or is it a combination of both? What have you seen? You've coached hundreds of people, talked with the top leaders in the industry. What do you think would be the most benefit for our listeners between vision and execution?
Well, I think the first benefit and the greatest benefit to your listeners and for you, Britt, and for me, the greatest thing that we can give to our team and to our customers is our own self-awareness. And so we've got to look into the mirror and we've got to say, okay, I either lean into being more of a vision casting leader or I lean into being an operator integrator. Yeah. Are you, and there are so many different words for it nowadays. Are you an entrepreneur or are you a doer, right? Are you the leader or are you the manager? Are you the strategist or are you the tactician?
Yeah.
Right. But at the end of the day, we've got to look in the mirror and say, okay, is my strong suit that I can cast vision into the future and make sure that, like, man, I don't know what we're doing tomorrow, but I know what I want us to be doing 3 years from now, because some of us operate that way, and I am that guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The people that I work with get really, really afraid anytime I take a shower, go on a run, or have a good night's sleep, because they know I've got a new idea that's going to change the trajectory of our business every time that happens, right?
Yeah.
That's really dangerous.
Yeah.
But then there's other people that are tacticians, right? They are the doers. And I would imagine, and I've noticed this in the landscaping industry, a lot of times people that get into landscaping and lawn care and anything outdoors that demands manual labor,
yeah,
so often anything in that arena, those people are what we would qualify, or what I would qualify, as an accidental CEO.
Yeah.
Right? It's like they looked up, they literally just started to mow lawns because they hated working for anyone else.
Yeah.
And they weren't willing to do it. And so they just started doing the thing. And in the process of doing the thing, they realized, holy cow, we can make some money on this.
Yep.
And then they started hiring people, and they didn't really have a vision for where they were going. They were just doing the thing, and they were making the buck, and they were serving people well, and they were providing a service.
Yep.
A lot of times that's the tactician. So the reason why I qualify those two is because the first thing that we have to have is the awareness to say, which one am I most naturally? But here's where at Path for Growth, I really, really want our team to take a stand that a lot of times is different than what a lot of the business and leadership literature teaches today, is the thing that you are strong in, you should amplify. The thing that you are weak in, you are not allowed to use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Too often we just say, oh, well, I'm just a visionary. And meanwhile, our team hates what they do because we don't pay attention at all to the tactical side of the business. Or we're an operator, and in doing so, we have abdicated our responsibility to cast vision for the business that we own. And so instead of using our weakness as an excuse, we need to own our weakness and say, not necessarily that it needs to become a strength, but it's something that I need to be aware of, because what I'm aware of, I can fix, I can improve, I can delegate, or I can automate. And so all that to say, I think it's important to start with awareness.
Man, that's huge. That's huge. I agree with you completely, because I think a lot of the guys come into a technician role, and it was kind of the impetus for this podcast. It's like everybody that I was talking to, there was an unending amount, a plethora of information on how to do the job, what technical skills you need to get, what licensure you need to get. You know, you can go to workshops all day long that provide technical skills. And I was like, well, where's the small business advice? Where's the leadership, the communication advice? And so what these guys do is they wake up with three crews or seven guys on their team, and they realize, holy crap, I'm in a leadership role. These people are looking up to me. These people they've got families. I'm providing for these people, and they're looking to me like I've got something figured out. No, I've just been doing this for an extended period of time. And I think if they can do what you said and maybe be a little self-aware, start jotting down. I think it's okay too, Alex, correct me if I'm wrong, ask your team, hey, where do you feel like my strengths are? Do a SWOT analysis, you know, the old school SWOT analysis. Hey, where's my strengths? Where's my weaknesses? Go to one of your key leaders, go to your top guy and say, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to figure out, am I a guy that just knocks crap down and picks up the rubble the next day? Or am I a visionary? You know, am I 3 years out? Am I an idea man? Am I creative? And see his feedback. Is that kind of what you would do, Alex?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely brilliant. That's one of the lessons that I think I probably picked up from John Maxwell, is he always teaches the idea that this whole idea of self-awareness comes to us through other people. And so the idea that you're saying, go to your people that know you most closely, and don't be afraid to ask them, where's the area that I most need to grow? What are my weaknesses? Because there's this myth out there that they don't know your weaknesses, or that you don't want to ask them because it's a sign of weakness and you don't want to admit weakness to them.
Nope.
They know your weaknesses. The question is whether or not they feel safe enough to talk to you about them.
Yes.
Right? So ask the question, have enough confidence to ask that question.
And sometimes then, sometimes it's not only confidence, it's being humble enough as the owner, as the guy in charge, to be vulnerable and say, hey, what are my weaknesses? You know, because as the leader, you got everybody there, and you want everybody to know, hey, I can still hoof it. So for you to expose weaknesses to a small group, and for the lawn and landscape industry, I don't know if I can verbalize this correctly, but when you've got like eight guys, you know, you're a team. You know, you're all doing the same thing. That guy maybe, like the owner may just have phased out of production. And so to be vulnerable and not be the man and have weaknesses, it can be hard. The other thing that blows my mind, Alex, is when you say you got some insight from John Maxwell, it's not like you just read his book. Like, you've actually talked with him. Like, that literally, when you said that, it was just like...
I love that guy so much. That was one of the highlights of my time at Ramsey, is getting to host that interview. And there are a handful of people. John is like this. Dave is like this. Craig Rochelle is like this. There's a number of people that I got to meet where the coolest part about getting to meet them is that the closer you get to them, the more you respect them. Hmm. And that is a high mark for a leader. I think that's something we should all strive for. I'd be interested to know, in the topic that we're talking about, Brett, I'm going to turn it around on you and ask you a question.
I told you, you were going to rip the coach's headset off, put it on and be like, slap me in the butt and say, get out there on the field, but I got this one.
That's right. I've got to ask the question. Are you more visionary or tactician? Where do you most naturally lean into, Brett?
This is a tough one for me, and that's why I want to ask my team, because, man, I knock down walls. Like, I'm a go-getter, but I also, the last 2 years, have done a pretty good job of getting out of operations. So I don't really know how to explain where I'm at. Like, the last 2 years, I've been phasing out of production. And I feel like,
yeah,
I've done,
but which one, let me ask you this, which one do you most naturally lean into when you are faced with a challenge or problem or a blocker? Is your thought process, I need to go get strategic and I need to create a long-term plan?
No, give me the ball. We got a blocker. Give me the ball. I'm going to knock him down.
And okay. So this is really good though, because what you articulated at the beginning, and what this means, is that you've made a transition against your own nature, where you've said, this is not necessarily my natural disposition, but it doesn't mean that I can't do it. Yes. And so what did you do to start thinking more strategically about your business? What do you attribute that to?
I went to two or three mentors and leaders in my life, and I just kind of had them speak into me. I went to people that I knew that I couldn't outgrow. Like, these people, I look up to them. I look up to not only them as business owners, I look up to them as godly men, men of faith. I look up to them as men with their families, with their wives, with their kids. And I just told them, like, hey, here's what I'm wrestling with. I've got a small business and I'm getting ready to phase out of operations. And it's gut-wrenching. And it wasn't even, Alex, I wish I could explain this to you properly, but it wasn't even the delegation part of it. It wasn't extending that rope. It was just, it's hard for me not to be in the trenches. It's hard for me not to like have those battle wounds with my team, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I knew that by being there, though, I was not guiding them properly. And I knew that being there was going to hinder their growth. And so if I put a lid on their leadership because I'm selfish, it was going to hurt the entire team.
That's so good. I love that. I love that you had that recognition, because, again, it starts with awareness, and that's so crucial. That's really good.
Yep.
Really good, Brett.
Yep. Well, Alex, I want to segue a little bit, but one of the questions, and I was reaching out to some of our listeners that I know follow you guys. And one of the questions that was submitted, they said, now that you have achieved success in your craft, in your field, and you've heard so many entrepreneur stories, if you could go back in time, like 10 to 15 years ago, when you were starting out, what 2 to 3pieces of advice would you give to your younger self just starting out?
Well, I think that the first piece of advice that I would give my younger self is actually directly related to the question that you asked, is that success is in today.
Yeah.
Right? Success. So I have not achieved success because today is not over yet. Right? Yeah. Success is in today. Yeah. There is not this destination that I used to think that one day there was going to be the destination where it was like, oh man, we finally made it. Now let's kick back and relax. And
we're
it
here.
Turns out that that doesn't occur. It's success is, but it's also not that it's like you'll never reach it. Success is in winning today.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that changes your perspective. That changes your value system. That changes your priorities because my personal mission that I'm on personally is to glorify God by using the gifts he's given me, which are communication and leadership, to inspire understanding, action, purpose, and faith. And if I can do this with you in a one-on-one Instagram conversation where the technology sometimes works, awesome. If I can do this in a crowd of 5,000 people on an Entree Leadership Summit stage, awesome.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter the scale at which I'm doing it. As long as I'm doing it, that is success. That's what awesome. I truly believe. And so that's the first piece of advice. The second piece of advice is something that I'm still learning today. So often we focus on needing more discipline, and we don't need more discipline. We simply need better habits. And so discipline gets you started and habits keep you going.
Yeah.
And so don't focus on just willpower is overrated, because willpower is a finite resource. And willpower, I think, is bedfellows with shame in so many ways.
Yeah.
Because we say, I'm just going to will this into existence. And then whenever we inevitably can't will what we want into existence, we feel really bad because we quote unquote should
or guilt.
Need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then we walk around with that. And so discipline, I think, can be overrated. You need discipline for a season to establish a habit. And once you establish the habit, that is sustainable.
Yeah.
And so don't focus on these massive things that you're going to do, right? These, I mean, these diet plans that people are on nowadays are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Focus on the minute changes that you can make that will contribute to a lifestyle that is healthy, sustainable, and growth oriented.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I correct me if I'm wrong, and I want you to go over this, but I mean, John Maxwell has a definition of success, and isn't it like it's either do or it starts off with test, right? Like test, fail, learn. Like whenever you get knocked down because you failed, don't just get right back up. They call that person an idiot. Like learn from your mistakes and then you test again. And it is an ongoing process, and it's a circle for a reason. Like it's ongoing. It's never ending. Every day you're just boom, one foot in front of the other. And we actually did a podcast recently of the same thing, like small action, one foot in front of the other. Even when you're walking into a dark room as a business owner, like that's your job, is to walk into the room that nobody knows what's going on, shed some light on the situation. Even then, you just got to put one foot in front of the other. You got to make the next right move, the next right action. And in Dave Ramsey's book, Entree Leadership, he talks about hard work over time multiplied by God. I absolutely love that, man. And that speaks to one foot in front of the other. The hard work over time, you know, one foot in front of the other multiplied by God. And I absolutely love that. Couldn't agree more. Speak to the habits, though. I want to camp out there if you've got time on it. Discipline and habits. Go back to what do you practically do to make sure that you're building habits that are going to provide the kind of growth that you want to? Because you talked about climbing the wrong mountain, right?
You can
build habits to climb a mountain. How do we know that we're building the right habits, or maybe give us some practical steps around that?
Yeah, this is directly related to the personal path for growth intensive that we walk leaders through. Because so often, and I've done this for myself and I've done this for others. I will say, what is my vision for 2021? Or what is my vision for 2020 for my life, for my family, for my spiritual walk, for my physical fitness? And we'll say, what is the vision? And the way too often that driven people answer that question is immediately with the things that they're going to do. And what I have learned is that we are a human being, not a human doing. And so if you want to create habits and actions that are sustainable, start with the person that you are going to be. And then out of the person that you are going to be, craft the actions that you are going to do.
Wow.
And so what that looks like is within the coaching relationships that I have and within the intensives that I do and our team does, is we sit down, we say, okay, we're going to do a personal growth intensive. And this is entirely based on a plan. I literally, it was 3 years ago now, I was on a plane on December 31st. Gosh, I guess it was December 31st, 2017. I was on a plane from Denver Airport to the Nashville Airport. And I said, by the time we hit wheels down in Nashville, I'm going to have my 2018 planned out. And what I developed was this plan that I've now used for the past several years. And I'm now getting to teach to people at conferences. And anytime I do speaking and teaching, we do them on Zoom calls and virtual intensives, and we do it in a one-on-one setting. But it always starts with number one, reflection, because there's not wisdom in experience. There's wisdom in evaluated experience. Mm. And then from reflection, that's when we move to vision. And vision, that verse that we've all heard, Proverbs 29:18, says, where there is no vision, the people perish, right? People say the Bible isn't clear. It's like, it literally says, if you don't have vision, you're going to die. Right? Like, I don't know how you're going to be more clear than that. It's pretty clear. But what's so cool about that verse, I get so passionate about this because this changed my life. Yeah. It just absolutely changed my life. Eugene Peterson has a translation of the Bible called the Message Translation. And in that translation, the way he translated that verse with Proverbs 29:18 is when people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And isn't that so true? We stumble all over ourselves. But then it says, but when they attend to what he reveals, then they will be most blessed. And so when we come to the question about climbing the right mountain, and making sure you reach a summit that you'll actually be proud of and that you'll actually want to be on top of, we ask the question, who is God calling me to be? Yep. And we ask that question in all the areas of the wheel of life. So we ask it for your spiritual life. Who is God calling you to be? Not what you're going to do. I don't want what you're going to do. What is the person that you're going to be in your spiritual life? Who is the person that you're going to be for your family? Who is the person that you're going to be in your social walk? Who's the person that you're going to be intellectually? Who's the person that you're going to be financially? And what I realize is that whenever it comes to spiritually or financially or physically, if you were to ask the people that matter most to me in my life, the people that I trust, love, and care about, and I hope they know I do the same for them. Yeah. If you ask them, man, tell me about Alex financially, they're not going to say, well, this is his net worth and this is what he gave. No, my hope is that they'll say, man, that guy was generous.
Yeah.
That guy was, he was confident. He was responsible with his finances. He was selfless. Yep. That's the person that I want to be. Yep. And then out of crafting the person that you want to be, then you establish the habit. What are the things that I can do daily, weekly, and monthly that if I were to do them consistently, it will create that person a week, 6 months, or a year from now? Does that make sense?
Man, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I love that. This was the softball that we pitched up to me because I can just feel you're invoking so much passion and energy around this, man. I love it. So, and you can speak in anytime you want, cut me off. But for our listeners now, it sounds like it all starts with crafting the person you want to be, correct? And the person that God has called you to be. So when you sit down, I think it might start with, okay, what are my core values? What do I value most in life? What do I want to relay to other people that are in my sphere of influence?
Answer three questions. Effective leaders, effective individuals, effective teams can answer three questions. And you should be able to do this for your business, but you should also be able to do it personally.
Okay.
Number one is why do I exist or why do we exist?
Okay.
Number two is where are we going? And number three is what do we stand for? Hmm. Now those are super big existential questions. And I was in a room yesterday with a person, and he's a mentor of mine that we got to do an intensive yesterday, and it was just so cool to sit down and walk him through my content that I've been working on. It was just an unbelievable dream. And we sat down and we walked through it. He is probably would self describe himself the most impatient person I've ever met. Right. I mean, like he could not sit still the entire time. I mean, he was pacing back and forth and everything. I just knew whenever we started this, because we were trying to answer these three questions and we were working on these three questions. He had it all in his head. We were just trying to get it on paper. I mean, he was going crazy because for impatient people, those questions don't make any sense. But I will tell you, I know because I'm not exactly a patient person either. Patience is a virtue. It's just one that I don't have. Yeah. Right. And it feels like a waste of time, but it will gain you back more time than just about anything else you could ever do. Because if you can find the crystal clear answer to those three questions, to those three decisions, every other decision becomes a choice.
Yeah.
Because I know why I exist, I know where I'm going, and I know what I stand for. And so those are the three questions that I would start with to answer your question.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And so you would say, like, somebody that's looking to sit down, create a vision for their company, start with those three. Like, that's the practical step you would have them do.
Yeah, I think why do we exist is the mission. Okay. If we're talking from the company perspective, why do we exist is the mission.
Okay.
Where are we going is the vision.
Okay.
That's the vision. And what do we stand for is the core values.
Core values. Okay. Okay. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I think our small business owners are going to absolutely eat that up. How are you doing on time, Alex? I know we're approaching the end here.
I'm golden. I've got about six more minutes, if that sounds good.
Six more minutes, man. Well, cool. I mean, I just want to give you an opportunity and a platform to plug Path for Growth. I want to thank you for your time. And I know, man, I 100% know our listeners are going to get a lot of value out of this. So reach out to Alex. Where can they find you on Instagram, email, if they want to continue the conversation with you?
Yeah. Instagram, it's at Judd on the Run, which sounds like I'm a convict, but I'm not. I'm not on the run that way. I really like to run.
Which would be a horrible idea if you were going to document that as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That wouldn't be really good to say, like, by the way, I'm on the run. At Path for Growth is the Path for Growth Instagram account. And we're on LinkedIn on both platforms as well. We'd love to connect with y'all on LinkedIn. My email address is alex@pathforgrowth.com. If there's anything that I can do to serve you or help you, or that our team can do to help you, obviously don't hesitate to reach out. And then pathforgrowth.com is the website if you want to get more information on that.
That's awesome.
But Britt, I want to commend you. There are a lot of people, especially right now during this whole quarantine situation, there's a lot of people that get into the podcast game and they get excited about it and they're a blip on the radar because 2 weeks later it's gone.
Yeah.
Because again, they didn't have the habits and they probably weren't in it for the right reason in the first place.
Yeah.
And what's so cool is in getting to know you a little bit and getting to talk to you a little bit, man, you've got the habits in place. I see your content all the time. It's popping up on my screen. I'm like, man, this guy is in the game. Like, he's doing it. He's producing just as much, if not more, than I am right now. And I think of myself as a content creator. This is crazy. This isn't even his full-time job. So that, number one. But then getting to talk to you today, it's just so clear to me that you're in this for the right reasons. And man, that's the person that I love to work with. That's the person that I love to be friends with. And so really, really well done. And I'm just grateful to get to spend some time with you and your audience today.
Alex, hey, man, that means a lot. Seriously. I've got a lot going, a lot of irons in the fire, mainly with a wife and two toddlers. That keeps me the most busy. But I truly do enjoy this. I know that you took a lot of time out of your schedule. So I want to reflect that to you, man. I mean, it's, I look up to you. Hey, a side story here. I hope we have a few minutes, but I was pretty nervous for this. One of the other big interviews that I did was with Mike Michalowicz, author of Profit First. And
he's amazing. I love that guy.
The guy is a killer, man. The book Profit First changed my life. Profit First and Clockwork. But the nervousness and like the pregame hype before this conversation reminded me of that. And I was actually so nervous. I said, this is Britt Dowd with the Profit First podcast. And I like at that time, like I was like recording on Zoom chat. I was just like, and I just apologize. I was like, Mike, I'm sorry. I don't even know what podcast I'm doing. And then we kind of got into the conversation, but that's just a side story of that. That's how nervous I was for this. So I appreciate your kind words because I know I can always do better. I'm pretty hard on myself, but I enjoy these, man. And I get over it because it's more to add value to other people. So I don't really care if I come out looking like an idiot and I know I sound like a redneck from Kansas City. So I don't care about that. It's more about our audience and I know they got some value because of you. And man, you're a killer, bro. You're a killer. You're going to do big things. I know that.
That means a lot to me. Thank you so much for having me on. If I can ever do anything for you and your audience, please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Okay.
All right. Keep at it, Alex.
Awesome. Appreciate you, man. We'll see ya.
All right. Bye now. Have a good week. Guys, what a great conversation with Alex Judd, Path for Growth. Man, oh man, jam-packed with some information. Hey, do yourselves a favor. Go follow Alex Judd at Judd on the Run. You can also re-watch this video, this conversation, engage with both of us by going to at Lawn Care Leaders Podcast, looking at the video, and then just commenting below. We'll be happy to address any questions you guys have. Really appreciate Alex for coming on the show. Guys, why do you exist? Where are you going? What do you stand for? Oh my gosh, such good information. So much value packed into a couple questions. All right. And then the other two things that I want you to end here with, are you a visionary or are you somebody who's operationally driven? And we got to figure out, okay, what we got to be self-aware as business owners. Where are we naturally bent? Where are we naturally weak? And we have to be aware of those. So craft a vision, plan consistent execution towards that vision. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the podcast. I enjoyed this one, man. I just was super nervous because I felt like some form or fashion I'm engaging with the Entree Leadership and Dave Ramsey brand, which I look up to tremendously, and they've helped me so much in my small business and in my family, honestly. So that's why I was super excited about this. If you wouldn't mind leaving us a review, a rating, engage with us. We hope these episodes are helping you guys. That's why we do them. I enjoy them, but I also want to make change and affect change in your business and in your life so that you can do the same for your peers, your clients, your family. We love it, guys. Keep at it. Make this a great week, and we'll be back with you soon.